Good morning.
Good morning.
As you're staying here, you can turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And so we've been going through the errors in Corinth and looking at them. Right now, we've gone through one that he's been touching on since chapter 12. It covers chapter 12, 13, and 14. And he's really dealing with the mindset that they have when it concerns spiritual things and spirituality. And we've talked about the different ones. I will kind of go through this so that we can wrap this portion up for sure. We'll try to do that. But so today we're going to look at true spirituality, because this is the problem that he sees with them, that many people can feel spiritual and yet still be very fleshly, right? Very carnal. Spirituality isn't always what people think it is. Some of them were thinking they were very spiritual, but they really weren't. They were acting very spiritual, but they weren't. And they were thinking maybe of themselves as the superior Christian, as the more stronger spiritual one, when they really weren't. And so Paul is addressing this. This can happen, and I think it is a danger that we all need to be aware of. We need to be aware of thinking that we are spiritual when we're not, or acting spiritual when we really aren't being spiritual. And again, what can really define that isn't always necessarily the outward appearance that you put off, but what's going on inside. And that's why he talks about charity being something so important, because you can be showing off a lot of things, but if you don't have charity, you're not truly being spiritual. And so that he's going through that. The Corinthians, they proved that. We need to be aware of it. They had come from a background of that pagan, mystical spirituality, right? And that was a very flashy thing that was out of control. That's how he starts in chapter 12. Remember, we'll go back, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led." But then he gives in. He says, look, that's how y'all were. That was what y'all came from. This was that paganism and that spirit, the way you looked at spirituality that way isn't necessarily correct. And you're bringing it into the church and it's corrupting. And so he gives some things there to correct it. But you know how that was. It was dramatic experience and visible gifts about a lot of personal expression and very intense. And there was a lot of disorder in that. And he shows a lot of things that they were having problems with, and he goes through it, and he ends this portion at least here in 1 Corinthians 14. I'll start reading it in verse 29. We'll start there. More or less, that's where we finished last week. So again, there's a lot of disorder, because I think of what they brought with them, the way they were thinking of spirituality, and there was a lot of confusion in it. He says, "Let the prophets speak two or three. Let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace." In other words, do it in order, not all at the same time. "For ye may all prophesy, one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." Right? That's again another one that shows very, very different from the thinking that somebody has. People think spirituality is that a spirit overcomes us and we have no control and it takes over. Paul says, no, you're thinking incorrectly. That's not spirituality. He says, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You have to control that. Then he says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? They're thinking very highly of themselves. He says in verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Brother Todd, could you please pray for us this morning?
Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us today. Thank you for this day, and thank you for your word. And I pray you would be with Stephen as he walks us through your word, and help us all to be edified. We do all this in your name and to your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so their view of spirituality got them into problems. They were kind of in a state of confusion in the meetings, in the assembly, and there was a lot of disorder. There was confusion in public worship. You could see a lot of things that were happening. There was multiple people speaking without interpretation. So there was a bunch of people that were speaking in different tongues all at the same time. And it was a confusing thing. It wasn't something that was edifying. It wasn't helping anybody. And there was just a lot of confusion. And apparently, it seems like women were disrupting speakers by public questioning. I know when we read that, verse 34 through 35, it's kind of like, what is he saying there? It seems to me like that during the time where he says, right, the prophets are going to stand up and speak and the others are going to judge, it seems like during that time of judging prophecy that some, maybe wives, because wives were publicly questioning, they were interrupting or challenging the people that were speaking, and possibly even their own husbands while they were doing it. And again, this would not look good in the meeting. And so I think as far as that looks like, he mentioned that specifically. He says if they will learn anything, it seems like in the open meeting, a lot of times there could be discussions. Things would be brought up. I mean, we see that in Acts chapter 15. They're talking about this conflict and they're going, you know, one is talking, one is debating, and there's debate. There's a lot of that going on. And so this public thing, it wasn't a good setting, especially for women to do that, especially if it was going to be a woman that seemed like she was arguing against her husband in the open meeting or in the meeting. It wouldn't look good. It wasn't right. And so Paul, I think, is speaking to that. And the reason for that is because we know in other parts, even in 1 Corinthians, that it says that women could speak in the meeting. They were praying and prophesying in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Right here, a few verses earlier, it says all may prophesy. All have something to say. And so putting all that together, that's what it seems like is going on. But that we're not going to really get into that right now. That is a whole other topic that we could discuss. And if you want to talk about it, we can later on. But this is what's going on. And then prophets that are speaking over one another, right? He says, hey, and if y'all are going to prophesy, wait till the other one is done so that the other one can start speaking. You know how it is. Sometimes when somebody's speaking, maybe they're taking a little too long. You're thinking, okay, be quiet. I want to stand up and say something. Well, they were probably jumping all over each other and trying to, you know, and Paul says, listen, y'all have gotten a lot of disorder going on and y'all need to fix that. Y'all need to fix that. Everyone is thinking they're strong spiritually, and yet they might have been wrong. And this is a problem. This is a danger that we can all fall in. We can all get to thinking that we're the strong ones and we're the spiritual ones. Some maybe are passionate and unrestrained, and they think they're the strong ones, the spiritual ones. Some are maybe proud and formal, more disciplined. Maybe they think they're the spiritual ones. Some might use a lot of liberty without care, and without care for holiness, and without care for others. And this would be those that think they're spiritual, but maybe they're not. And so we can all fall into these categories where we think we are actually the ones being spiritual, but we might be actually falling short. And so Paul is correcting this thinking. And so he teaches us what true spirituality is. And so that's why in chapter 12, he talks about true spirituality requires function, not individualism. True spirituality is going to be something where you are functioning with the other members as a group, as a whole, together. You're not just the one individual solo man that does it all by himself. The body is many parts. It's not just it's not a disconnected thing. Gifts were given for us to serve each other, not for our own personal status to be lifted up above everybody else. And you know, this is the type of spiritual thing that they were getting themselves messed up on. And you know, this can happen. But when it comes to functioning in the body, who would you say is more spiritual? The person who looks to say, hey, how can I serve? What can I do? Where can I have a part and help and build the body? Or the person who thinks, boy, you know what? Without me, this church would fall apart. Right? Be careful, because one can think he's very spiritual, or they can think they're very spiritual and yet not be acting very spiritual with their thinking. And it's interesting that the obvious answer, right, is the person who wants to serve and help and be a part and grow with the church, is the one that is being spiritual, acting spiritually mature. And yet that is the very person that might end up falling into that position where they think that they're the ones that are the ones that hold everything together. The ones that aren't doing anything, they don't have that problem, right? The ones that aren't really participating and serving and doing something and finding out everything they can do, what can we do? They're not even in the game. They're on the bench. They're not even playing the game. But the one that's doing and actively serving and going for it and listen, what needs to be done, I'll be there to help, is the one that can fall into this spiritual thinking that, wow, I am so valuable. And so it's a danger that can build up on the very people that are actually participating, which is necessary. We want participation. But even though you are necessary, you're not everything. And you gotta remember that. Even though you are valuable, you are not the entirety of the body. And one thing we all need to remember is we are not the head. None of us. Jesus Christ is the head. And that we need to keep remembering that. If your spirituality can't handle overlooked service, then it's not gonna last. Listen, what we are trying to do is serve, not get everybody to focus on us and see us. You might be doing a lot of work and maybe not a lot of people know it, or maybe not a lot of people recognize you for it publicly. That's okay. It's not a problem. We're here to function together and serve each other and grow as a body. We don't need the spotlight. We want the spotlight to be on Jesus Christ. And that's true spirituality. Once we start looking for our self-importance, then we get a big head, and we got to remember we are not the head. So keep that in mind. So spirituality, not only does it require this type of thinking where we require to function within the body, but true spirituality is governed by charity. And that's what he goes through in chapter 13. True spirituality is going to be governed by charity. It's not going to be governed by selfishness. And that is the childlike mentality where we are thinking about ourselves instead of being mature and thinking about others. So you need to be governed by charity. That is true spirituality. If your spirituality is really strict on other people, but you're not that strict on yourself, right? Somehow you're wrong, because you're always looking down or thinking evil of somebody else, or are always looking at others in a different way instead of thinking about being mature yourself and being a benefit to others, seeking the best for others instead of yourself. Again, this needs to be in true spirituality. There needs to be a real desire for charity. Live in charity. Without it, you don't have true spirituality. Your spirituality is not complete. It has to have this foundation. It has to have charity. So no matter all the gifts that you think you might have, if you don't have charity, you are nothing, as he says in chapter 13. True spirituality seeks edification, not just personal growth. True spirituality seeks to edify other people, not just yourself. If all you do is focus on growing yourself, then you have a spirituality, but it's not true, it's not complete, it's not strong, it's not a mature spirituality. You need to try to edify other people with your spirituality. That's what it's about. It's about edifying one another. And that's why they had such a problem. They were so focused on themselves and understand helping themselves, not the church, that's why Paul goes through all of 1 Corinthians 14 saying, what are y'all doing? Y'all need to seek edification. Paul exalts clear prophecy because it builds others, rather than tongues. So if your spirituality is about your own personal growth, and it's all about how good you are and how much better you are, how much you're growing, but you're not seeking to edify others, then that's a dangerous spirituality. That's a poor spirituality. In fact, you can be so spiritual, you can be so mature yourself or grown yourself, or you can think so highly of yourself that you end up being the one that criticizes everybody else but doesn't help anybody. And that's a real danger. That's a real danger. You're like, I'm you're really good at fault finding. That's not spiritual maturity. And a lot of times we think it is. We even call it maybe discernment. Oh, I've got the gift of discernment. I can see when everybody's doing wrong. I can tell. I just know. I know exactly what they're doing, their mistake, look at their situation. I can see it. I can see it all. God has given me discernment. I can find the faults in everybody. Be careful with that thinking. That is not true spirituality. Spirituality is not bringing others down, finding all the faults in others, and just seeing the faults in others. True spirituality goes with the intent of building others up. And so just because you can point out the flaws in everybody in the church doesn't mean you are all that spiritual. You need to understand what you have to do, right, whenever that happens. Galatians 6:1 says, ye which are spiritual, right? He says, ye which are spiritual. There should be some spiritual people. But those that are spiritual, don't just look down on those that are not doing things right, or those that are wrong, or those that are wayward, and just talk about them and hold them in like such shame. It says, those that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, is what he says. You which are spiritual, you see those faults that you're seeing, all those things that you're noticing. The goal isn't to criticize. The goal isn't to go spread the shame around. The goal is to build up. The goal is, and you got to do this in meekness. It requires humility. And so spirituality is going to be one that has this humility and is able to go build and rebuild. Anybody can criticize, but it takes mature people to be able to go rebuild and help in a situation. And fault finding usually really is only serving ourselves. It makes us feel wiser, right? Or we feel more spiritual, separated, or we're the right ones. Be careful. Talking about people instead of talking to people doesn't solve problems. It multiplies them. And that's what I really, really think about whenever we're not really truly looking to edify. We're just maybe wanting people to notice that we can observe, we can see all these things. Right? I want people to know that I know when that something's wrong. I notice this and I notice that. And instead of actually going to the people that need to be talked to or talked about the situation, we start spreading it around, and that just multiplies the problem. So again, all things we do should be for edification. That is spirituality. If what you are doing is building yourself up and hurting other people, that is not spirituality. I think it's very clear. Paul makes it clear. And we need to understand that. I think we all understand that. So now we get to this one. And this last one, I'm just going to say that true spirituality submits to Scripture. We'll talk about it like that. True spirituality submits to Scripture. It seeks clarity and is under control. It will submit to Scripture. Okay, so that's what Paul says in verse 37. He says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Paul says, listen, I have been showing y'all. I've been trying to correct y'all on what true spirituality is. Look at this then. Look at all these things I've been telling y'all. But they thought they were spiritual. They thought they were right. They thought they were fine. And he is trying to correct them. And he says, listen, this is the reality. These are commands of the Lord. And so remember the authority that the apostles had. They had true authority, and what he says, what he wrote unto them were commands of the Lord. And we recognize that. That's why the epistles that we have, the writings that we have, these were commands of the Lord. They were from apostles and they hold weight. Anybody that today says they're apostles or they have the power to override whatever is written in Scripture and whatever they say is what goes, listen, I don't hold any value to that. That is not my authority. The authority that we have is the word of the apostles, the Scriptures. It's the word and the commandments of the Lord. That is our authority. And so true spirituality is going to submit to that. True spirituality will submit to that. If you find yourself that you don't want to submit to the Scriptures, you want to submit to your way of thinking or your way of feeling, then you're not being led by true spirituality. We think, well, I felt led. I feel the leading. I feel this. I feel that. But it doesn't align with Scripture. Well, forget about it. That's not true spirituality. Maybe not just forget about it, but don't think that is the best way to go. Don't think that feeling in and of itself is everything. We got to be aligned with Scripture because true spirituality aligns itself with Scripture, submits to it. True spirituality will acknowledge Scripture and submit to it. And we see that this is really important in individual growth and as a church. We want to be submitted to the Scriptures because we believe this is true spirituality. True spirituality is submitted to the Scriptures and it seeks clarity. Listen, there's nothing wrong. That's why when he says in verse 29, he says, let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. What are we going to do? We're going to let somebody just speak and talk about whatever they want and we just have to listen and just obey them and just submit to that, whatever it says. No, it says you need to judge. There does need to be judging of what somebody speaks. You have to judge and you have to say, hey, what are they saying? Where are they getting it? What is it coming from? How does this apply? Is it right? You can judge. That's why we encourage everybody. You come here and you bring your Bible and you open it up. And if you have questions, if there's time for questioning, you can question. If you want to come up afterwards, question, ask questions. That's a good thing.
Right.
Something you're not understanding or you don't think you agree with, you don't think that's what the Bible teaches, go up to the preacher afterward and say, hey, you mentioned this. I'm not sure about that. Where did you get that? Where did you come up with that? How are you seeing this? Talk about it. There should be judging. And the goal is that we all align according to what the Scriptures say. We can say, look, there's an authority. We might not be on agreement on this subject, but let's talk about it. And we both agree that our authority is going to be the Word of God. Amen. And so we can actually look at it and we can see clarity in things. That's why he says that God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. We don't want to just be confused. We want some clarity. We want to know what we're talking about. We want to be able to understand and have unity and have peace. So we seek to submit to the scriptures because this is true spirituality. And that comes with order and control. That's why he says, let everything be done decently and in order. It talks about the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. We are not just somehow taken by whatever possesses us, and wherever it leads us and however it goes, it goes. And again, we gotta be careful where we don't get to a point where we're going to another place where you can't have any, you know, any excitement, any feeling or anything like that. There's always extremes, and we gotta be careful with those extremes. But we do understand that we have order, and we have control. We're not just going off with whatever wind of thing that possesses us. So any religion that especially a lot of them have come from men who thought they saw an angel or thought they had some spiritual leading, some spiritual thing, and this drove them to create a bunch of different things and come up with a bunch of different things. They get possessed by this feeling of spirituality and superiority where they're go on with whatever thought that they're having at that moment, but they're not comparing it with scripture and they're not submitting themselves to scripture, and that has caused a lot of issues. It causes a lot of problems. It causes real problems. Excuse me. If you say the thinking of "I feel led" becomes stronger than "it is written," then you've got your authority wrong.
That's right.
Your authority should be what is written, because we submit to what is written because that is true spirituality. And along those lines, what's interesting is that Paul says here in verse 38, he says, "But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant." You know, a true spiritual man should be able to be instructed. A true spiritual man should be able to accept a faithful believer coming to him and showing him some scripture and saying, "Look, this is what the Word of God says. I think you need to consider that." A true spiritual person is going to look at that and say, "Wow, that is valuable to me. And I am willing to submit myself to the Word of God." But whenever you find yourself say, "No, I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to hear it. I don't think so." And you just go off and you're not interested in what the Word of God has to say on a subject or on a topic. You're not interested in what God says about that. Then you're in real trouble and you're not acting spiritual. That's not true spirituality. True spirituality is a man that can be instructed, but the fleshly man protects his image, right? It's about image, and so being instructed for some reason feels wrong to us, and it hurts our pride. I don't know how that works, but if like somehow we resist being instructed, but instruction is a good thing, but our flesh really resists it. Paul says, if somebody wants to continue in ignorance, remember he started this by saying, "I don't want y'all to be ignorant." And now he ends by saying, "Listen, I've given you all these things so that y'all don't have to be ignorant. This is the word of the Lord. This is a commandment. This is what you're going to need to do. You need to submit to the word of the Lord." And he says, "But if anybody wants to continue being ignorant, what? There ain't anything else I can do." I just kind of got to give up on them. You know, and it sounds bad, but you know, what else can you do? He's already told them everything they need to do. He's explained, he's corrected, he's reasoned with them. He's given them the commandments. And now he's just like, if anybody's going to be ignorant, they're just going to be ignorant. And you need to recognize them. And I think we do. We recognize those people that do not want to submit and don't want to be corrected. And you know, weakness needs patience. People that are weak, people that are, maybe you could say, slow to get there, right? You need patience with them. Okay, I'm going to teach you. Okay, I'm going to help you. Okay, I'm going to work with you. That's one thing. They require patience. But rebellion, that's different. And that's where they're refusing truth and they don't want to be taught. That's different than somebody that's weak or slow that needs some patience. And they are to be dealt with differently. 2 Timothy 2:20-25 says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves." So yes, there's a point of where we are meek and we want to instruct and we want to teach and we have patience towards men that can be taught. But we don't start with harshness, but we have to distinguish ignorance from stubbornness. We have to distinguish this because a lot of people are stubborn and that's different to how to treat them than ignorance. We don't need to endlessly argue with somebody over something that we go on and on and on about. There comes a time where repeated argument becomes unprofitable. That's what it says in Titus. Titus 3:10 says, "A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject." It's like, that's enough. I've tried again, and you just want to continue on, then we have to reject you. We don't give up quickly, we don't give up easily, but we don't pretend that rebellion is sincerity and just overlook it. Because the love for that one person can cause great harm to the whole church. That one person that is rebellious, in an outward way, we want them to get right, right? We want them to be right. We want them to repent. We want to restore them. But while we're doing that, if we pretend like it's okay and it's no problem, that might hurt other people in the church. And that's a danger. That's something we have to learn how to deal with. And so again, all these things can come up in the assembly. And they're not all easy to deal with. There's situations that are really hard to deal with. And you know, we have to do the best we can. The great thing about it is that, listen, like a church in Corinth, they could be doing so many things wrong, but the hope was that they could get restored. They could fix them. Listen, no church is going to be perfect. And as it's been said, if you find a perfect church, don't join it because you're going to ruin it. No church is going to be perfect. But when we find our errors, we can fix them. Amen. And sometimes when we fix an error, we might go to the extreme and overdo it. And at that time, we try to fix that. And we might just be jumping back and forth trying to fix something sometimes. But as long as we're correctable, that's a good thing. That is true spirituality. You allow the Lord to correct you. The problem is whenever we get to a point where we say, no way, I can't be corrected. No way, I'm not wrong. I ain't ever changing. This is how I am and this is how I'm going to be. Then you've got a problem. You're going to be ignorant. You're just going to be ignorant. There's nothing else we can do with you. And so we don't want to get like that. We don't want to get like that as a church. We want to be able to correct. We want to be able to fix our thing. That is true spirituality. And like I said, it becomes really difficult when you get people that are openly rebellious towards a correction, because that can cause problems with other people in the church. And, you know, as a pastor, you're caring for that sheep, right? You're caring for that one thing and you're doing what you can with that. But when that one starts affecting the rest, you know, that pastor, that elder, those overseers have to take into consideration that and the decisions might have to be differently. I would do something differently if I'm just taking care of that one person than I would if I'm having to worry about how it's causing the problems to other people and how it's affecting, right? And so all those things are have to be taken into consideration when we realize that we have to deal with the errors that we're in. And we want true spirituality, we have to be correctable. We have to be correctable. We correct each other with the Word of God. Listen, if you have advice that's good, but if you can really show what you're thinking and why you're thinking from the Word of God, that's going to hold so much more weight when you approach somebody and talk to them about a problem or an issue or something that happened. Just really be full of the Word of God and allow that to be what corrects. That is the way to go. Don't take Scripture as a personal attack. A lot of times if we hear Scripture, we see Scripture, somebody comes with Scripture, we take that as a personal attack. Listen, if it's Scripture, that's God. God is speaking. And of course, you want to understand it and you want to get it and clarify it and get into it. That's good. Talk about it. Look at it. Look it up. Find more. Get deeper. That's a good thing. As long as you're willing to submit to the Word of God, that is where true spirituality is. So don't let tradition matter more than truth. And as a church, you have to be careful with tradition mattering more than truth. Religion can replace obedience, if that is. It's really dangerous, and no Christian should be above correction, especially spiritual ones. If you think you're spiritual, you should be correctable. And that doesn't end. Obviously, I don't think you should be having the same problems over and over and over again, but even then, allow yourself to be taught. Wherefore, brethren, he finishes, covetous prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. We don't want to be taken by all the drift of emotion that we can feel at one time and go crazy, right? And in our spirit, with all the spiritual gifts that we have, we don't want to let it cause all these problems amongst us, right? Oh, I'm the better this and I'm the better that. And we start fighting over how, and that's the sad thing. You know, sometimes teams that you think would make great teams, right? Maybe teammates, basketball or whatever, you think, man, if he and he played together, they would be the best team. And then you realize they play together and they're not that good. Because they all think they're the best and they all want the ball and they can't play well with each other. Well, we don't want that to happen in the church, where we have great gifts and a lot of spiritual gifts and a lot of spiritual people and a lot of people that are, woo, great, but we can't work together, we can't play together, we can't do it together because we're all fighting each other. Listen, don't let it be like that. Let things be done decently and in order. Allow somebody else to speak. You can speak. Talk about it afterwards. If there's somebody speaking in tongues, there needs to be interpretation. It needs to be done for edification. We need to do everything based on charity. This is true spirituality. And that's what we should be seeking. And if it's an error in our own heart, let's fix it. And if it's an error in the church, let's work on it. But let's get it corrected. Let's search and seek after true spirituality. And so that's how I think chapters 12, 13, and 14 all go together. And he's teaching about true spirituality there. We'll finish up and then after that we'll have the preaching hour.